From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." How did the light appear? Well, we believe that the light appeared in the manners of the Lord, in His behavior, even in His appearance. How was the light manifested in His daily walk? Simply by absence of darkness. And what was the light also, beside His good godly example? The light is His teaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord told them openly that they must change their life in order to see that kingdom of heaven that is at hand. It's at hand. It's not very far. You need not travel to the land of Chaldees from where Father Abraham came, or to travel all the way to the top of Mount Sinai to receive the commandment. You just repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn to the Lord and you will see the kingdom of God. It's at hand, just as Moses said to the people, "This word of God is not beyond the sea, over the mountains. It's close. It's right in your mouth. Just read it, say it, believe it, do it." And so, the Lord Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and He saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, Simon, called Peter. Who gave him that name, Peter? I think the Lord did. So if Simon called Peter, already here was called Peter, that would indicate that the Lord already met Simon before, that they had some relationship, some knowledge about one another in the past time. And there was also Andrew, the brother of Simon. And they both were cast.
I have an affection for the simplicity of the Word of God. They were casting net into the sea, for they were fishers. One could think that this is unnecessary use of too many words, but no. This is to show to us that they were doing what they usually did. They were working on their job. When the Word of God came unto them and the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, He said unto them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." What did He say? I heard somebody who apparently was more familiar with sport fishing than fishing. And he said that that's the way of proclaiming the gospel. You put something attractive on the hook and then the fish will come and get hooked up. I didn't feel exactly that way. Not in my experience. In my experience, it was a net that just wrapped around me and pulled me in the right direction that I was resisting for a long time. So, not that there is no attraction in the Word of God. There is a lot of delight in fellowshipping with the Lord and the like-minded followers of the Lord. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is similar to what was the message to the people from the mighty or wealthy man that prepared the wedding feast for his son, and he said, "Send the people to that were informed and reserved to be invited," and they refused. And then he sent his servants to the roadsides and all places where they could find idle people, the people that have nothing to do, and he told them, "Come." Also, the message of the one that was hiring laborers for his vineyard. And he said, "Why are you sitting here, not doing anything?" And they answered, "Well, there was no job for us. No one hired us." And he said, "Come, and I will give you work to do." There is a lot of work to be done in the ministry, in our relationship with the Lord. No one can have a good relationship with the Lord and be idle. It just doesn't work together. That's why earlier today I had some questions about that song concerning the goal of eternity. The Lord said, "Follow me and you will be very busy and the gain will be much greater as men are a creature greater than fish, or more important than fish. Some people would object to this. I just recently heard on the job where I work that all life is one, and I said the source of life is one. That's, you know, Eastern teaching, that there is not much difference between humans, animals, birds, and so on. That's all life. And even plants, it's all part of one life. Well, I said that the source is one, the creator is one, and he made everything very, very different. But back to this, as the Lord said that we should not worry about our life because the Lord takes care of the sparrows. Are you not more important than the sparrows? Well, I would say then we should be more important than fish. So what he said to them, that there is a great job to be done, and he is calling them to do that job, to work in that job, to participate in that great program, and they can do it only if they follow the Lord. So he's saying to us also that we follow him, and he will make us fishers of men. He will give us a greater job than any other job that we can do, and the gain on that job will be much greater than any other gain that the people may have. Now, that does not necessarily mean that after this, Peter and Andrew completely forgot about fishing. We see later on the Lord is in Peter's boat, in Peter's ship, preaching from it. And we see by the end of the gospel, I think it's in the Gospel according to St. John, that they were fishing again. I would think that how did they forsake everything? Before that, that was the purpose of their living. You know, and there are quite a few people that have a very simple purpose in their living, and they are all dedicated to that. First, as a young man, I will obtain good education, good skills, good practice. I will become a decent citizen of my community or my nation, and then probably get married to another decent person, and we will have family and children, and then we will raise our children, and they become very good citizens, and we will secure their future, and, you know, just that ambition, which is not necessarily alien to the godly people. But as long as that calling or that profession, that main occupation of our mind and heart and all of our time and strength is this life, we are lost. Suppose that I have a wonderful family, and suppose that I am wealthy and healthy, which I'm not, but just for example, suppose that they all grow up and they become wealthy and healthy and they have their families, so what? It will all last for a short time. But the Lord is calling us to become members of a family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that he has given us as part of our stewardship to be subordinated, or maybe more correctly said, to be in the service of that service to God. So, yes, we will labor and earn something. Why? Because we want to serve the Lord. Yes, we will raise our children to be good citizens, but first, foremost, above everything else, to be godly people, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? We want to be together forever, not only 40, 50, or 60 years on this earth. That's nothing in comparison with a glorious and joyful eternity. So the Lord is telling them, follow me, I have a great job for you, and the gain is measureless. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now, our jobs, our income, so to say, or obtaining income and laboring to meet the ends, as the common phrase goes, can sometimes get in the way of our ministry, of our calling. And then comes the question, do we believe the Lord and follow him hoping that that will help my earthly goals, or do we labor and earn and gain the earthly things in order to use all of that to serve the Lord? What is our calling? Did we hear the voice of the Lord? Did we follow Him? Are we His or our own? If we are our own, we are not free. We are slaves of sin. We can only be free if we become voluntary slaves of our Master, Lord Jesus Christ. If we lean our ear to the doorpost of His home and let Him nail us to His home, and we will never hear anybody else or anything else, we just follow the Lord, then we are free. Well, they left their nets and followed Him. Well, later on they return and they fish more. And then later on they return and they offer their boat for the Lord to preach from it. That's how we are to use everything that we have. When it comes to the point of choosing one or another, we drop everything and follow the Lord. And when we get to the point of working, laboring, and so on, we do all of that for the sake of the Lord. And so, next step, from hence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. It's so interesting that in the beginning, these first disciples were two and two. And we see that some indications in the scriptures are that two brothers can be very different, like Simon, Peter, and Andrew. One very outspoken and the other one very quiet. Two brothers can be very similar, like James and John. They were like one. Lord, we want to be one on the left-hand side, one on the right-hand side of thy throne. Lord, we want fire from heaven. Lord, they just go together. And they seem to be, I'm not quite sure, but it seemed to me that John was considerably younger than James. I might be wrong, might be an impression, but it does look like that to me. And in any case, these two were not using their nets. They were not casting a net into the sea as first two, Peter and Andrew, but they were mending their nets, and he called them. Why that little detail, that it was different? You see, the Lord called his disciples. First two were fishing at that moment. Second two were preparing for fishing, fixing their nets for next casting, for next fishing, and they left. One of the disciples was sitting in his office of taking custom, charging the people, taxes, and he left. Another one was up in the tree, and the Lord called him, and he came down, and so on. The Lord, yes, he does have his best time for calling each one of us, but obviously, in quite a few cases, perhaps there are no exceptions. At least I don't know of many, or I don't know of any exceptions. Whenever the Lord's calling comes, there will be something else to do. There will be something in the way, or there will be something that you can use in His calling. Depend how we take it. Remember the story that the Lord said that when He called some people, one said to Him, I cannot come because I have purchased the field. Isn't that foolish? Why didn't He say, Lord, I'm coming right away. I want Your blessing upon my field. I want my field to be used by the Lord. Another one said, I just got married. Isn't that silly? Why didn't he say, wonderful Lord, I'm coming and my wife with me? You see, there is always an obstacle if we make it an obstacle, or there is a stepping stone if we want to use it in faith and faithfulness. So they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And the Lord Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. There followed the great multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, and Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond Jordan. You see what happened? He went away from Jerusalem. Now the people from Jerusalem are coming
after him.
Jerusalem was the holy city. It was also the bloody city. It was the place where was the temple of the Lord. It was the place where the temple was made a den of thieves. Often, in our experience, we might face the same fact. As long as we are in the same place, same condition, with those that need help, we cannot help them. Often we have to get out and away in order to offer help. There are so many details that are teaching and testifying and getting the gospel across to us. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching in words, in deeds, in manners. Everything was part of his ministry. And I believe that's an example to us. It's an example to us. It's a model to us. I did not intend this time to share with you much about his so-called miracle power or the wonders that he did. I think that we can learn more from each individual case that is presented later on in this book. We read here, however, that he went through Galilee in their synagogues, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It was not the gospel of hopelessness, the gospel of defeat, the gospel of helplessness. He was teaching the gospel of the kingdom, but it was not earthly kingdom. The citizenship of that kingdom is manifested in patient suffering, oh yes, in bearing the burden of the cross, in following the Lord obediently, submissively. How many times we think we understand the reason of his will because it's pleasing to us? How many times it appeared to be that his will, or whatever is taking place in our pilgrimage, what we have to suffer, is just beyond understanding. Why? Because it's difficult. Because I don't like it, you know. But when we come to that point, that we understand even the things that we cannot understand. We understand that the Lord does understand and he knows why is that so, and all he wants me is to trust in him, to obey and to follow him. And yes, to suffer. Is there anyone here who knows not at least some suffering in this life? But let me ask one question. Is there anything wonderful achieved in our life without some amount of suffering, some striving, some effort, some selection, choosing between good and not good? I wonder. Oh yes, the Lord sometimes gives wonderful and glorious things, but when he gives us a task, an assignment, a chore, something to do for him, did we ever achieve something good without laboring, without suffering? And the Apostle Paul is comparing our striving and our spiritual battle and our service for the Lord as a race, as a game. He says, know you not that so many people run in that race, but only the one that comes first will receive the trophy, the reward, the recognition. Well, yes, in the worldly games, that's what the case is. And that's why I think that the worldly games are really worldly. They have nothing to do with godliness, really. But Paul is comparing that for our sake with the life and battle in godliness. If we make the will of the Lord the only one, just as that one that is, each one that is racing, make his only goal to win that recognition, to receive that honor. If we make the honor of our Lord our goal, yes, we will receive the reward. We will receive the garland. We will receive the trophy. It's amazing that when we get that to that moment, when he brings us to that moment, we will probably, most probably realize that it's actually his trophy. That's something that he has achieved, that he has accomplished. But as one of the believers recently said, that they believe that the life in godliness, as it took all of God, also takes all of those that believe him. All of ours our whole heart and mind, strength and everything. And when we do that, as much as we know, then we are really blessed and we are really happy. And we will realize that at that moment, we are healed of many sicknesses. We are healed and relieved of many possessions that we were possessed of. And I think that it is the gospel of the kingdom. Living and ruling with the Lord is a great, glorious thing. Even this, even here in this life and on this earth. Now we read here that many followed him, great multitudes of people. Perhaps we could wonder how important that is. The Lord said that it is very important. But he expressed it in different words. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. So does that mean that we would intentionally choose to be few? Or does that mean that we should seek the multitudes? No, that's really not our business. Our business is to obey and follow the Lord and leave the number to him. And for the sake of number, don't make any delusions nor restrictions. Just make the word of God, accept the word of God as he gave it. Believe it, keep it, and follow the Lord. Those are the blessings. In the following chapter, he is talking about the blessedness. And I hope with the help of the Lord, we will get to that next time, Lord willing. But the beginning of all blessedness that we can be aware of is in this chapter 4, following the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and make it much more meaningful and powerful in our daily walk than what I shared with you in this limited time and my very, very limited ability to share. And may the Lord bless you all. Amen.